Let us pray then. We just seek the Lord as we commence this service of baptism tonight. Our Father, we humbly bow again in thy holy presence. Thank thee for all that are gathered in for this service of baptism. Thank thee for this ordinance that the Lord Jesus has given to us for our comfort, for our assurance. Thank thee for the sign that it signifies and for the seal and pledge that it gives of thy glorious and wonderful gospel. We thank thee for the flock of God here. We give thee thanks especially for this young family, for Mr. and Mrs. Brown and their children, how good thou hast been to them. We acknowledge this tonight. Give thee praise. We thank thee for all the children of the congregation, Lord, that thou hast given to us. We're so blessed. And we want to just praise thee and just acknowledge thy greatness. We pray that thou will give us many more children and that thou wilt honor us with little ones in days to come. We thank thee especially for this little baby, Lucy, this new addition to the Brown family. We pray for thy mighty hand to be upon her tonight and in the days to come, and that thou wilt work in her heart through grace. And bring her to faith in the Lord Jesus, to know and to love thee, and that she also with all the saints will be in everlasting glory when the time appointed comes for thee to call her in death. Work in us all and bless us. Help us to remember our own baptism, to recall again the sign and the pledge as we received it for our comfort and our encouragement. Give us the Holy Spirit in this meeting. We humbly pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now in this service of baptism tonight, congregation, as you know, we have the presentation of the little baby daughter of Mr. Rodney and Mrs. Cherith Brown, little Lucy Alice Brown. I want to read some scriptures, first of all. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And they brought young children to Jesus that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house, and abide there. And she constrained us. May the Lord bless these readings of his holy word. So today we have the ordinance of baptism and its administration to the infant of this couple, Mr. and Mrs. Brown. The question and answers of the Shorter Catechism 94 and 95 state, What is baptism? Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost doth signify and seal our engrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace and our engagement to be the Lord's. to whom is baptism to be administered? Baptism is not to be administered to any that are out of the visible church, to lay profess their faith in Christ and obedience to him, but the infants of such as are members of the visible church are to be baptized. And so tonight the parents of this child and the minister believe that those answers are biblical, and it is in the conviction of that that this service is carried out. And so this service is not to persuade the unconvinced of infant baptism. Most of you have attended services here before of this nature, and you know that we have always respected the denomination's open policy on baptism. So it's not to persuade the unconvinced. It is just to carry out the ordinance to this child, and it is to preach to you God's wonderful promise of the everlasting gospel and of his salvation. And the family do appreciate you being here. They appreciate your presence, whatever your convictions on baptism, and they want to thank you for being here tonight. Baptism is a beautiful thing in the church. It is a lovely ordinance. It is, in many respects, like circumcision. In fact, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, without hesitation, links both together in a number of passages of Scripture in his epistles. One is found in Colossians. He's speaking to the saints. He says, "In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." You see, the confession of faith states that baptism is a sign and a seal. And it's like circumcision in that regard. The circumcision was a sign and a seal of the covenant of God, of the everlasting covenant. And in the New Testament, we believe that baptism is a similar sign and seal. It's a picture of the gospel covenant. That's what a sign is. A sign's a picture. Sign's something to help us see a reality, something even more wonderful. The sign's just a sign. It doesn't save. This ordinance doesn't wash away sin. It's only a sign. But it's a sign of a great reality. Christ's baptism. And just as circumcision was kind of a way of taking away the body of the sins of the flesh, so Christ's cleansing takes away our sins. And the work of his Holy Spirit regenerates us and makes us new men and women. And baptism is a sign and seal of that. Sign of our union to Jesus Christ. Sign of the Holy Spirit coming down upon us in the waters of baptism, regenerating and removing sin. It's a wonderful picture of what Jesus Christ does by his blood and through his Spirit. And we all need that. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need the reality, as you see it pictured here tonight, in your heart and life. You need the Lord to come into your heart and life and to wash you and take away all the sins of your flesh. And that's what's pictured. But it's not only a sign, it's also a seal. What's a seal, you say? Well, we don't use seals very often today, but I suppose the nearest thing that we have to a seal is a wedding ring. It's a seal of a marriage covenant. It's a pledge. It's a pledge of the promises that were made. Something that confirms them and assures each other, the other partner of them, of the pledges that have been made in the covenant. And in the covenant, Christ gives us not just an empty sign, but he gives us a pledge. He gives us a ring, something to handle and see and to view and to be comforted by it. And that's what it is. It's a pledge of God's salvation. That if you believe in Christ, you'll receive the cleansing. If you believe in the Savior, you'll have everlasting life. If you believe in him, the Spirit of God will come into your life. It's a promise. It's a pledge. It's he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And baptism is a pledge of that. That covenantal promise of grace. And that's why we say it's a wonderful thing. And so baptism really is preaching the gospel. and comforting the saints every time that we see it administered. So the gospel's here tonight. And that's what I want to emphasize. Whether infants of believers are baptized or not, I want you to be persuaded the gospel is pictured here. You need to be washed. You need to be saved. Christ alone does the cleansing. It has to come from above. It has to be done by another hand. The hand of the Lord. But you must believe in him. And if you believe in him, you will be saved. And in adult baptism, the ordinance is a lovely, comforting thing to the believer. It's an assuring thing. And it calls sinners to be washed. But it also comforts saints that they are washed. But I do believe that this pledge can be applied to the children of believers, even as circumcision was in the Old Testament. Doesn't mean that they're saved by it. It doesn't mean that the child necessarily have faith, but their parents do. And Mr. and Mrs. Brown will confess their faith tonight as they bring their child. There is faith present, but it's the faith of the parents. The child can't believe yet. But they are bringing their child to Christ in the ordinance of baptism. And the pledge can be applied, we believe, to the child. It doesn't save little Lucy, but it puts her under obligation. It puts her under obligation to believe when she comes to the age of understanding. And her parents have to teach her to believe and teach her not to reject Christ, to teach her to say, "Our Father which art in heaven," and not to hesitate to do that. And so Rodney and Jurith, after the baptism of this child, you must teach her, as you have done all your children. You must persuade her of the right way. You must tell her of God's love. You must tell her of her Saviour's pledge to her. And you must persuade her to come to Christ. And God's grace will be given to you. And his pledge will be fulfilled to you as you believe and obey your Saviour. Jesus Christ. Parents, then, if you'd come forward now, please. Mr. and Mrs. Brown, and with their little baby Lucy, and also their other children, Ethan, Joseph, Aaron, and little Emily. I'd ask the congregation, please, to stand. Do you confess your personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Do you acknowledge the fallen and unclean nature of your child and her need of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and her need of the regenerating grace of the Holy Spirit?
We do.
Do you commit your child to God in baptism, and do you promise to raise her up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to teach her God's word and to pray for her precious soul?
We do.
Having confessed your faith in the Lord Jesus and acknowledged him as your Saviour, and bringing this child to baptism in the holy ordinance, I baptize you, Lucy Alice, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, Lucy Alice Brown, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Our Father, we do give thee thanks for this little girl. How blessed this family is, and how blessed we are as a congregation. And we just want to praise and give glory to thee this night, Lord. And we do commit this child to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we pray that thou wilt cause thy face to shine upon her, that thou wilt bring her to faith in the Lord Jesus in days to come, that thou wilt keep her as the apple of thine eye and under the shadow of thy wing, and her parents will be given wisdom and understanding and grace and patience and all the help that the Holy Spirit can supply to them as they endeavour to bring her up in the fear of God. Bless her sister Emily and her brothers Ethan, Joseph and Aaron, and in the going out and in the coming in of this household, may the Lord's presence be with them always, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Well, little Lucy is certainly full of life, and we're glad of that. We've had very many baptisms of children in this church, And actually, it reminds me of the first one, Mr. Wallace. Their little boy cried quite a bit as well. So you're not the only ones. The congregation's very understanding. We know it's late at night, and it's a long day for you, and it's not distressing us in any way. So don't you be annoyed that the baby cried tonight. It's a sign of life, and one day she'll cry unto the Lord, and the Lord will hear her cry. So let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank thee again for this family. Bless them. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be a portion of us all, each one. Amen.